Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Water Quality Supply and Treatment Subcommittee. Missy, please call the roll.
Chair Stevenson?
Here.
Vice Chair Maggard?
Here.
Ranking Member Hart? Representative Altman? Representative Basabe? Representative Bell?
Here.
Representative Brackett?
Here.
Representative Cassell?
Here.
Representative Cross?
Here.
Representative Dunkley? Representative Gonzalez-Pittman?
Representative Dunkley here.
Representative Gossett-Sidman?
Here.
Representative Henson?
Here.
Representative Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Redondo?
Here.
Representative Temple?
Here.
Representative Waldron? Representative Yeager?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Before we begin, I want to remind you to put your electronic devices on silent or turn them off, please. Good afternoon, members. We have four bills on today's agenda. Today, first up, we have House Bill 1565, Florida Red Tide Mitigation and Technology Development Initiatives by Leader Grant. Leader Grant, you're recognized to explain House Bill 1565.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members. Good afternoon. HB 1565 extends the Florida Red Tide Mitigation and Technology Development Initiative, which is an existing partnership between FWC and Moten Marine Labs. It's been in existence since 2019, and it's going to extend that program by another 2 years. The initiative so far has explored more than 300 chemicals and compounds to kill the algae and minimize the impact of red tide toxin without causing further human or ecological harm. The initiative has 36 projects that have been completed and are underway. This bill provides a way for the Department of Environmental Protection to review and approve the technologies for safe and effective field use and trials. And the bill provides funding in the amount of $2 million per year for the period of 2 years, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? Yes, there is. Pepper Uccino, Florida Shore and Beach Preservation Association. Waving in support. Dr. Michael Crosby, Moat Marine Lab. Thank you. Waving in support. I should add both were presidents of their organizations. I should add that. That is the extent of our public comment. So you have lots of good support. Leader Grant, members, is there any debate on the bill? Well, seeing none, this is great. I know that red tide's very disruptive, and I'm really excited that you're making progress on this issue. Leader Grant, you are recognized to close on House Bill 1565.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to tell people I sponsored this bill back in 2019. I think the partnership between the state and Moten Marine has been very productive, and then we're just taking it to the next step. So I'd appreciate your support on the bill.
Thank you. Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Basabe? Bell?
Yes.
Brackett? Cassell?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Gossett-Sidman?
Yes.
Hart? Henson?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Waldron? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes. Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Congratulations. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Next up, we have House Bill 1557 from the Department of Environmental Protection by Representative Cheney. Representative Cheney, you are recognized to explain House Bill 1557.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. Thank you, committee, for hearing the bill. Florida's natural resources are the foundation of our state's community, economy, and way of life. With the support of the governor and the legislature, we have appropriated unprecedented levels of funding and ushered in a new era of stewardship for Florida's environment. Since 2019, over $2.6 billion in state funding has been appropriated for continued improvements of water quality, quantity, and supply. This record funding has been coupled with sweeping policy changes to ensure that our investments will improve our environment for generations to come. The provisions of this bill include establishing a new aquatic preserve that encompasses the Kristen Jacobs Coral Reef Ecosystem Conservation Area to enhance protections for the northern portion of Florida's coral reef. It clarifies eligibility for the Resilient Florida Grant Program, including requiring the completion of local vulnerability assessments. Requires facilities with basin management action plans or other restoration areas to provide information that supports the development of domestic wastewater treatment plans and on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems remediation plans, which are important for restoring water quality in these challenging areas. It creates a program within the DEP to expeditiously review enhanced nutrient-reducing technologies for on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems, and it ensures that the DEP has the appropriate authority to integrate enforcement and statutory compliance requirements into our existing regulatory structure following the transfer of the on-site septic program, as well as rulemaking authority for implementation. And that is the bill. It is a big one.
Thank you. Members, are there questions of the sponsor? And I should mention we will have some amendments. Representative Cassell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the bill. I just had a question as it pertains to the granting or rewarding of a 30-year consumptive use permit when our planning only goes out 20 years. Obviously, we're giving an additional 10 years without really the data to back up or confirm that the 30 years is a good time frame. So Where did the 30 years come from, and are you amenable to possibly lowering that?
You're recognized.
Thank you for the question, Rep. Cassell. I actually just left a meeting having that exact conversation and that very question. The one thing that made me more comfortable with that is that those plans are reviewed every 5 years. So to ensure that the projections actually meet the use and the permitting. But having said that, got more suggestions, you know I'm always open.
Thank you. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of questions, if that's okay, Chair. And looking at the Kristen Jacobs Coral Reef Ecosystem Area, obviously that extends from basically St. Lucie all the way through to down to Miami now, the new area, if you will. And in that area, number one, there's a tremendous amount of ports and that type of issue, inlets, and et cetera. How would this affect the dredging that routinely occurs in those port systems?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to call on DEP to answer that.
Certainly. Thank you for being with us today, Mr. Blaylock. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the question. And so, yeah, the boundary of the AP goes from offshore up to the main high water line. So it's not going to, it doesn't cover like Back Bay intercoastal waterways, so docks, marinas, things like that in those areas for things like beach nourishment, port navigation, dredging. If there's, say, a municipality has like a pier that goes out into the ocean, those things are purely in the public interest and meet the standards to where the increased regulatory requirements of an aquatic preserve wouldn't apply.
You have a follow-up?
Yes, please. So I just want to make sure I'm 100% correct in this. So this will not affect beach renourishment in any way along Jupiter Island, in Hutchison Island, all throughout the Palm Beaches. This designation, in DEP's opinion, will not affect beach renourishment in any way.
Chair. You're recognized.
Correct. And my understanding, we have aquatic preserves all through on the Gulf of Mexico side and up in Indian River Lagoon, up into the Ponte Vedra area, and none of those areas have ever had any issues with beach nourishment projects due to aquatic preserve designations.
You have an additional question?
Not at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, Representative Cheney, I believe you have an amendment, barcode 221333. Representative Cheney, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
This is the amendment that reduces the cost share in financially constrained communities.
Thank you. Are there members, are there any questions on the amendment? All right, seeing none, we have public testimony on the amendment. Kate Westner from the American Flood Coalition Action waves in support. I also have a comment card for Audubon of Florida, Elizabeth Alvey. Was it for this amendment? No? Okay. Thank you. Is there debate, members, or is there debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Cheney, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. All opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. Next, we have an amendment by Representative Cheney, barcode 720215. Representative Cheney, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Chair, I'm sorry, I don't see barcode numbers. Could you give me maybe the line numbers that the amendment pertains to?
463.
Thank you. That's the one I thought it was. This recognizes previous vulnerability assessments.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Are you set, Ms.? Representative Hart, did you have any? I'll just make sure there's no questions because we were. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No questions on the amendment. Is there public testimony on the amendment? Audubon, not for this one. No, okay. We'll get you on one of them. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Cheney, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. All opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. We also have amendment 202077.
And again, Chair, I apologize. I have no amendment numbers. Is this lines 1228, 1229?
Yes, 1228. That's the one.
Okay. This amendment requires that the status report for the projects that were funded in 2021 at a minimum identify how they've provided nutrient load improvements or water quality testing data for that water body due by July 2025.
Thank you. Are there questions on the amendment?
I'm sorry, Chair, and we also have to include a user-friendly website dashboard.
Oh, thank you. I really like that. Was my favorite part.
I know. Me too.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Seeing none, and I don't see Audubon moving, so I don't think they must be on the last amendment. Okay, that's my luck. Is there public testimony on the amendment? Just, okay, is there debate on the amendment? Representative Cheney, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. All opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Finally, we have the last amendment, barcode 975541, which begins on line 1751. Representative Cheney, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
It better be this one, because this is all. beginning July 24 and by the July 1 following subsequent publications of the analysis required in this section, the Office of Economic and Demographic Research shall provide a publicly accessible data visualization tool on its website that allows for comparative analysis of key information.
Thank you. Are there questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there public testimony on the amendment? Audubon, did you want to comment on the amendment? She left. Okay. Well, I guess, they got
waving lots, in support.
They got lots of airtime. Anyway, okay. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Cheney, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
Thank you. All in favor of the amendment, say yay. Yay. Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Members, we are back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? We have David Childs, FWEA Utility Council. Mr. Childs, you're recognized.
Hi, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. I'll be brief. There's a lot of good stuff in this bill, particularly when it comes to raising reclaimed water and incentives and ensuring that if you're doing a new project involving domestic wastewater treatment, you're considering the potential for reuse. We do have some concerns about one part of the bill that addresses the nutrient levels in reclaimed water and has an across-the-board mandate of advanced wastewater treatment. We think there's a need for some additional flexibility there, looking at local conditions. Some systems, like our springs, are very nitrogen-sensitive. Others, like Lake Okeechobee, Everglades area, is more phosphorus-sensitive. So we want to make sure that we're tailoring our requirements to the needs of local systems and that we're not causing undue cost in some areas. And also, there's the capability of different reuse practices for vegetation to uptake the nutrients and use it. So if you get it down to inert levels, then you're losing that opportunity. So we've been working with the department, had a good conversation with the sponsor, and we're confident we're going to be able to work through it, but I wanted to flag those issues. So thank you very much for your time.
Very good. Thank you. Ryan Smart, Florida Springs Council. You're recognized.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Ryan Smart, Florida Springs Council. I'm speaking for information. There's a lot of good stuff in this bill. One thing we are concerned with is the reuse water element. We're concerned about that for two reasons. One, you know, the reuse water has pollution in it, right? It has nitrogen in it, and the nitrogen is what's killing our springs and rivers. So if we're going to be expanding that, right, we're going to be increasing the pollution in our springs and rivers as we expand reuse. And while we really like the idea of trying to limit that to AWT by 2034, that 10-year interim, you know, we're spending, I think I heard today in this room, $2.4 billion for the last few years on water quality. We shouldn't be doing things to promote projects that harm that water quality because we have other ways to deal with supply. And it's the most obvious thing ever. It's conservation, right? Just like Senator Mayfield said yesterday, stop pollution at the source. Same thing goes with water supply as with water quality. If we can take less water out of the ground, then we don't need to do the expensive and often risky alternative water supply projects like reuse, like reclaimed, that should only be a last resort after we've maximized conservation. The second thing I'd like to mention is on the permit issue. Again, 30-year permits go 10 years beyond any planning horizon we have. Our minimum flows of levels are 20 years. Our regional water supply plans are 20 years. Our basin management action plans are 20 years. If our agencies were able to look out 30 years into the future, they would. They don't because you can't. And while it is true that those plans are reviewed every 5 years, that's not what's important here. What's important is when the permittee has to come into compliance. And with a lot of the rules that we're seeing, they have to come into compliance when they come in to renew their permit. So we would have no way of knowing 20 years from now whether that permit should ever have been issued, how much it should be, and what it's going to do is it's going to prevent water from moving to higher value sources. So, you know, we'd really like the idea of a 20-year permit, match it to all of the planning that's being done in the state, match it to everything else we have. There's no reason to go on beyond 30 years, especially for something that has negative water quality consequences. Thank you.
Thank you. Megan Cannon from Florida Tax Watch, senior research analyst.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and distinguished members. My name is Meg Canaan, and I am a research analyst at Florida Tax Watch. In September 2023, we released this report entitled Septic to Sewer, Protecting Florida's Ground and Surface Water. In the report, we discuss how 30% of Floridians rely on septic tanks to treat wastewater, and conventional septic tanks only reduce 30% of nitrogen, while advanced septic tanks can reduce 40 to 70% of nitrogen. So we're just here today to provide information and tell you that we really support the provision of this bill that expedites the approval of enhanced nutrient-reducing on-site sewage and treatment disposal systems. If there are no questions, thank you for letting me share my thoughts with you today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Canaan. Finally, we have Kate Westner for the Florida. No, we have two more. The American Flood Coalition Action. She's waving in support. It's the wrong bill. Oh, sorry. Oh, wave in support. Okay. Thank you. Oh, and this is her again. Okay. That is the it for us for public testimony on the bill. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Representative Maggard, your Vice Chair Maggard, you're recognized.
You can call me anything, just not late for dinner. So, thank you, Rep. Chaney, for working with me in the last 24 hours on this. There was a lot to read and a lot to take in. So, as I talked to you earlier, last night, this evening, whenever that was, time goes here, I got some concerns on lines 959 through 972, and we discussed that. I really want to work with you on that. I'm afraid it opens up another part of the statute which defeats the purpose of that statute that we as legislative passed. And I want to make sure that we're not doing that, because if we are, then we defeat the purpose of what we did all the work on that previous bill. And it appears that it's that way, but I'd love to sit down with you. We didn't have time. But I'd love to do that. I'm still up and down on the bill. If it wasn't for you, I'd vote no in a heartbeat. But I think I'm going to go up just because I know you'll work with me and help. We're doing an amendment or something, and we come to find out this does exactly what it does. And there's some other issues we need to discuss with it. But thank you for bringing the bill up.
Thank you, Vice Chair Maggard. Representative Cross, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Chaney. I know that you've been working really hard on this bill and collaboratively with DEP. I do want to echo some of the things that we'd heard related to the consumptive use permit. And, you know, I think it's appropriate to have a 20-year time period that's consistent with our planning efforts. I did see in the bill that you're making sure that there is demand for this reclaimed water. There's infrastructure required in setting up these systems. And I've seen in Pinellas County places where there's more supply than there is demand. And some of our golf courses end up taking that, cannot utilize it fully for irrigating their courses. Those golf courses end up becoming kind of a pass-through on the way to Tampa Bay or other receiving water bodies. And so the intent of using some of those treatment methods is diminished if the quantity is too big for essentially the end user. I also noticed in one point that the sea level rise projections have decreased from a low to an intermediate rather than an intermediate high. And I just want to make sure that those are the most protective sea level rise projections that we can be looking at. I think a focus on shifting towards the more nutrient-removing septic systems is really important, and I also appreciate the protection of the Kristen Jacobs Reef. I think that's a really proactive step in a way to recognize the strong work of our former colleague. Thank you.
Thank you. And Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for taking some phone calls and fielding that from me. And, you know, I also believe that the protection of the Kristen Jacobs Reef is fantastic. I'm happy that you're moving ahead with that, or DEP is, although I'll give you all the credit. That being said, I do have some concerns with marine industry issues. And when enacting a aquatic preserve that close where, you know, the reef comes, I could literally in some places from Jupiter Island, I can swim to that reef. So, from the shore. So it's an area that obviously has a major impact on marine industry throughout my area, all the way down to Miami. And I definitely have some concerns, knowing the protections associated with an aquatic preserve, which are rightly so, I think that's something that we need to pause a little bit, take a look at very hard, and not just put that into action right away. I think we need to bring in some industry partners. When you look at the cruise lines, when you look at the things, the industry that's going in and out of even the Port of West Palm, I think that that's some areas that we really need to take a look at. So I also have concerns about the reuse side and looking at the items there that we're not sacrificing some gains that we had in the last couple of years. And I'm hoping that we'll also look at the monetary side of all of this and the impact on many of our municipalities that are out there that are doing great work, but this may, in fact, strangle them with some additional financial holds. So I want to make sure that we're being proactive in how we're looking at these things, yet also realistic and looking at our industry across the board. I'm absolutely thrilled, again, that we're protecting these areas, but I want to do it with something that we can all live with and that we realize that this is going to be a long-term protection that also takes into account the strong marine economy of Florida. So thank you so much.
Representative Gossett-Seidman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to second Rep. Overdorf's concerns. My county has 4 inlets and ports total. There are 3 sets of reefs offshore from my county, middle, further down, I believe northbound. And on weekends, holidays, you'll see hundreds of boats diving, fishing, anchoring. I do believe there's some destruction of the reefs from some of the anchoring. They're trying to monitor that. But I do have some concerns for the industries as well as protecting the natural resources there. So I'd like to maybe have some further conversations as well. We need both the reefs and the industries. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other members in debate. I wanted to thank you for I'm really excited about the Kristen Jacobs designation. I was with in Florida Association of Counties with Kristen and did a big project with her and then came to the house and she was here and I appreciate this. She's had a real passion for Florida's waters. I would be interested in understanding if the aquatic preserve language is a blanket protection or if it's customized to the area. We have one in the Ponte Vedra area. I am not aware of any conflicts, but it's a much different part of Florida. And I think whenever we're concerned about issues, we should be thinking of the context because of the great variety in our communities. On the reuse nutrient question, and I may be seeing this completely different, but certainly just as we had ground-applied biosolids and we had to establish criteria for beneficial use, I guess that's kind of one of the comments I picked up from the discussion and the debate. It should be beneficial reuse, like where hopefully the golf course or whatever is receiving some benefit, hopefully both from the water and from the nutrients therein. I know some utilities communicate about the nutrient content of their reuse water, which allows people to use a little less fertilizer. And honestly, if you water every time, you have less of the problem with the flushing runoff from a heavy or more periodic application, and you don't water when it rains. So it seems like possibly a win-win there. So I might be seeing that a little different and maybe need to understand some of the concerns. But overall, what a great bill, and it's always good to see good policy combined with funding to help improve Florida's waters. My understanding on the CUP review, and we're kind of past questions, but I thought that they could change the conditions of the permit and require additional, it's not a static permit, and that they had to come into compliance before they're issued. So if you can address any of those things in your close, I'd greatly appreciate it. And I look forward to supporting this bill. And I know that you're continued to work on certain issues to make sure we get things just right. Thank you. Representative Cheney, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair Stevens. Thank you for your comments. Thank you to the audience members who came and spoke to me and here today. I hear you. I'm going to continue to work on your comments as well as the comments from the members, particularly Rep. Overdorf, Rep. Maggard. I have promised to you in my office that I'm going to continue to work on this. This was just the first stop. I intend on addressing all of the issues that were brought up here today by audience members, by the committee, and addressing them to a point where I'm comfortable with them, and I hopefully that we're all comfortable with them. I am in no way saying this is the bill and that's it. This is a work in progress as far as I'm concerned. I will attempt to respond to some of the comments now. Rep. Overdorf, your concern about, and Rep. Maggard, concern about sacrificing our past gains that we've made. I've heard this repeatedly, and I don't feel that I have satisfactory information and responses on that, so I'm going to continue to work on that, and I welcome your input and you helping me on that piece. It's certainly nobody's intention to do that. In terms of monetary impact on municipalities, keep in mind that DEP does provide funding to offset costs with municipalities. So let's explore that and see if there's gaps there or if that addresses your concerns. Reversing benefits to match the needs and the nutrient content. The point of that is people fertilize, and they fertilize how they're not supposed to. They over-fertilize. They overwater. In my neighborhood, people have their timer set, and they're sprinkling their lawns in the rain. And I've gone to a couple of my neighbors and said, you know, you're really not supposed to be doing this. And they're like, well, I don't know how to do the timer. So, you know, we're trying to legislate to compensate for that behavior that we acknowledge is going to happen. And, you know, short of having people drive the streets and ticket these folks, I think this is the solution. But, again, I am opened. Regarding your comment, Chair Stevens, about the permit allows them to come into compliance when it's being reviewed, that is my understanding, but I am going to confirm that, and if that's not the case, I will adjust that. And with that, I close. I thank you all for your support so we can move this forward and continue to work on it.
Thank you, Representative Cheney. Missy, will you please call the roll on House Bill 1557?
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Gossett-Sideman?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes. Thank you, members. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably with amendments. Thank you, Representative Cheney.
Thank you, committee.
Finally, we have a proposed committee substitute for House Bill 789, Environmental Management, by our own Representative Overdorf.
Chairman, I know we have another member that's sitting.
I skipped him. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll defer to the chairman.
Oh, that is good. Okay. All right. Next up, we have proposed committee substitute for House Bill 1163, Regulation of Water Resources, by Representative McLean. Representative McLean, you are recognized to explain PCS for House Bill 1163.
Thank you, Chairman Stevenson, Vice Chair Maggard, and Ranking Member Hart. Representative Overdorf, thank you for your kind gesture. Madam Chair, I know that it gets Certainly lots of folks sitting around, and I do the same thing in my committee at times. So, but thank you for recognizing me, members. House Bill 1163 will do a few things. As you know, Florida's water well drillers play a pivotal role in the advancement of the groundwater industry in Florida, and are responsible for the development and protection of our resources. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection regulates the practice of water well drilling and approval, and in coordination with the management district. The changes proposed in this bill would help to ensure the protections of our aquifer by clarifying and increasing licensure and crime requirements for well drillers, clarifies an incorrect citation of the plumbing code, requires delegated programs to adopt the same enforcement and disciplinary guidelines as the water management districts, allows for violation notices to be served by certified as opposed to registered mail, prohibits the advertisement of water well drilling or construction services by an entity that is not owned or by a licensed water well contractor. And finally, the bill eliminates the septic tank variance board, a 7-member board, which has become an unnecessary exercise that just causes delay. This will not remove the process for getting a variance as it relates to on-site septic tanks. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions of the sponsor? Representative Minority Leader Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep, who will take over whatever services the variance board was providing?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that question. Currently, there is a staff in place, so you would make an application. Staff receives the application. Staff processes the application. Staff then puts the application on an agenda. The board then sets, and in most cases, approve the agenda that's been set and the variances that have been asked for. So the process would remain, and then it's actually signed off by one of the deputy secretaries at DOH. Or DEP now.
Representative Henson, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the bill. Can you tell me what the purpose, why would you change it to this, and how is it going to improve our quality of water?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The process will remain the same. This will remove a board that currently, if you can actually go on the website where variances are on DEP's website, and you can go through their last entire year of meetings that they've had. There's maybe a handful of disapprovals on that bill. The rest have been approved. I believe that the staff's doing a good job of making recommendations that go to that board, and merely the board is merely there and then just signing off on it. But then the secretary, or the director of that department still has to sign off on it. This is only a recommendation from the board. The board is not approving it. They're only recommending that it be approved.
You have a follow-up?
Yes. Thank you. I was going through the staff analysis, and it gives quite a bit of information about septic tank systems. Mm-hmm. Will this ensure that this well is not being polluted, septic tank?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The current process, when the variance is asked for, it would go through the same process as normally when you're asking for a variance. It's because the septic tank's too close to a well or whatever it might be, but there are certain requirements that they could put on the person who's asking for the variance to ensure that. Normally it's in the future. On most of the ones that I've seen, normally it's a future, something that would be fixed in the future as it relates to water supply.
Are there any other questions on the bill? Seeing none, we do have public testimony. Ryan Matthews from the Florida Groundwater Association waves in support, correct? Okay. I should have said this already. There are no amendments, so we didn't go through an amendment process. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative McLean, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'll just again reiterate that the process of applying for a variance and being approved for a variance will not change. The only thing that will change is that a board, probably you would remove, at a minimum, you're probably going to remove 20 days of time lost by someone. It could be as much as 45 days. And again, the board, because of all the rules that we've changed as it relates to on-site septic tanks, as it relates to the BMAP process and all of that, the board's just become somewhat redundant. I had a friend of mine in Marion County who actually served on the board, was one of the members of the board, and he's now resigned from the board because he feels like that, you know, it's being taken care of through the process, and so it's so he has done that. But again, the process doesn't go away. Just one piece of the process.
Very good, Missy. Will you please call the roll on House Bill 1163?
Representatives Altman.
Yes.
Basabe.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Brackett.
Yes.
Cassell.
Yes.
Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman.
Yes.
Gossett Seidman.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Henson.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Redondo.
Yes.
Temple.
Yes.
Waldron.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes.
Chair Stevenson.
Yes. Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members.
Next up, we have proposed committee substitute for House Bill 789, Environmental Management, by Representative Overdorf. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized to explain the PCS.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. Afternoon, members. This bill has two sections. The first section standardizes stormwater design requirements for residential and municipal stormwater ponds and actually adds new safety requirements for ponds and steep slopes to keep people from falling in and drowning. The second portion of the bill promotes the redevelopment of previously contaminated land by providing that if you comply with state environmental standards and cleanup targets, excuse me, someone should not be able to turn around and sue you for doing exactly what the state authorizes you to do. And members, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions of the sponsor? Representative Cross, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Overdorf. I want to understand Section 2 a little bit more. I've tried to look at some of the statutes that are referenced in this, and that includes water resources, the pollutant discharge and prevention and removal section, as well as eligibility criteria and liability protections related to brownfield sites. So I would like to understand what this encompasses. From your description, it sounds like if someone is cleaning up a brownfield site, that they should not be sued for that work that they've been authorized to do. The way I read this, and it could be incorrect, is that if someone intentionally or unintentionally introduces pollutants into a water body that are not already authorized by a permit, and it damages, and there's damages to someone in the downstream area or local area, they have the ability to sue, but only for real and personal property.
Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
I can understand how you might have arrived at that, but that's not the case. If there is an unauthorized discharge, you would have every ability to go ahead and to sue, do every other legal means whatsoever. This covers any permitted activity that is permitted either under a variety of our regulations. And if you follow those permitted activities, then you will not be sued for personal injury associated with that. That's what the bill does. If it is an unauthorized discharge, then game on.
You have a second question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up, why is it limited to real and personal property instead of making it broader in case there were health implications or loss of economic value?
You're recognized.
Th- Thank you very much, and thank you for the question. So the diminutive side, which if we had an area that was, say, a brownfield, and then next to that was a land associated with that just is not a brownfield, there is that diminutive side that recognizes that there may be a lower land value there because you're located next to a brownfield. But if you're following all the regulations, say, in that brownfield, a person that has decides to build a home on that land next to it could not sue that landowner of the brownfield that has followed all the regulations whatsoever for some type of personal injury. That's what we're looking at. So as long as you're following the regulations and following the rules and you have laid everything out, then you would not be open to a suit.
Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if I had a brownfield and I've completed all the necessary cleanup on my brownfield, because that is required, I'm sure, then what you're saying is if somehow some pollution comes off of my brownfield and I become very ill as a result of it because I've followed the rule, I could not sue you. I mean, I couldn't get sued because I followed all the rules, even though I may have made somebody sick.
Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
You need me to go back?
No, it's unfortunately dealing with a lot of hypotheticals that, again, if you're dealing with a brownfield and you have actually done your site management, you've actually followed the regulations with it, in other words, you've taken care of that contamination issue, then that's actually also covered in statute as far as the brownfield regulations, what you are supposed to do in a site remediation, what you're supposed to do in monitoring with that. And then what the real issue has been, Representative Hart, is that in working with people that have followed through, completed a groundfield contamination assessment, completed all of the remediation, then they go to sell that land. Right now, nobody is going to buy that land with this legislation as it is because it is currently open to being sued and to being sued for bodily harm, those types of things, even though all those regulations have been followed. So we really want to make sure that if you follow if you follow the regulations, you should not be able to be sued, but you are able to. So when we originally had this, and it's a Supreme Court case actually going back to Simons Trucking Liepo, which is a 2019 case, and even in that, the Supreme Court basically said, look, the statute is overly broad. We're depending on the legislature to bring it back in, to tighten up that legislature based on looking at permits, and that's exactly what we're doing here right now, is to tighten that legislation up. And in fact, there was a bill that was done previously back, if I recall correctly, in 2020. It was actually even more broad than this. The scope that we have here is pretty narrow.
Thank you. Representative Cassell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Piggybacking off of some of my colleagues' questions, in the event that there is negligence in the implementation of the permits, or it's determined that the methodology that the permit process approved was faulty and somebody is injured as a result of either the faulty implementation of it, or, you know what, we should have never allowed this method of cleanup, would someone be able to bring a personal injury cause of action in that scenario under your bill?
Is that a question you can are prepared to answer? Okay, you're recognized, Representative Overdorf.
Thank you for the question, and thank you for the hypothetical scenario. The reality is that, you know, anything is possible if somebody decides not to follow the regulations and or if information in putting together the permit was inaccurate. In those cases, I'm sure that there are attorneys out there that would be able to find a way to deal with that. But if you have followed the regulations, if you've gone through, if you look at the very end, you know, the strict liability exceptions are really the only affirmative defense associated with this. So that's, you know, war, government, act of God, and then a third party that may have come in, and you can prove that third party did damage. Those are the only liabilities, the strict liability exceptions to this. So I think it's pretty well thought out as far as if you're following the permits, if you have done everything that you said you're going to do, why should you then be held liable in a suit? Why do we have permits then whatsoever? So that's kind of what we're going at. Thank you.
I don't see any other questions. I'll ask a small one myself. So since this has happened, is that created a disincentive to clean up brownfields, and do existing brownfields ever cause damage to neighboring properties?
Thank you for the question. I think that's a broad question if you want to say damages. You know, you're looking at, again, diminutive damages where you have a brownfield that's now next to an area. It's potential that the value of that land next to it is not as high as if it wasn't there. So if you want to look at it that way. As far as the incentives, it's really more of a, why would I clean up my land if I can't use it whatsoever, and I'm facing this? So I think that's the hard part of this, and if we can't assure that the permitting process works, why would we continue to do the permitting process?
It seems to me that the current situation is a disincentive, and we may be better off if people are willing to clean their brownfields is what I'm kind of asking.
Is that a question?
Yes, it is a question.
Okay.
More direct. Do you think we're better off if people clean up their brownfields or if they leave them?
Yes, clean them up.
Yay. Okay, that's good. Thank you. There are no amendments. Representative. Representative Waldron, you're right.
Thank you. Sorry. Just a quick question. Does this also apply to water body discharges that are not near brownfields?
Recognized.
So again, going back to discharges, if it's an authorized discharge under a permit, then you are covered by the overall permitting associated with this. If it's an unauthorized discharge, in other words, somebody decides that today we're going to pump off, 100 gallons of whatever it may be, and it's an unauthorized discharge, in that case, you would be able to pursue an action.
Thank you. There is public testimony on the bill. Adam Basford, Associated Industries of Florida, is a proponent of the bill and is coming forward to speak.
Yes, ma'am, and very briefly, Adam Basford with AIF, and could not do much better than the representative did in presenting this bill, but I just wanted to say thank you for bringing this forward. It's a very important fix to be made in this situation. You brought up the Supreme Court case that basically asked that said there's a distinction here between the bodily injury and between the personal and real property damage to be done there. And so this is a great distinction to show that on these discharges that obviously things can be brought forward on personal and real property, but not for bodily injury. And that's a big distinction that needs to be made and very helpful as we move forward making that clear. So thank you very much for bringing this forward, and we ask for your favorable support.
Thank you. Emma Hadosi from the Surfriders Foundation is waving in support. Thank you. Bill Cotterell from Florida Justice Association is an opponent of the bill and is coming forward to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. First of all, I would like to thank the bill sponsor for taking the time to meet with us and discuss our concerns with the bill, and we look forward to continued conversations with him on it as well. We are in opposition to the bill, specifically as it relates to that Section 2, dealing with the damages and what type of damages can be brought. There's been discussion on the Supreme Court case, the Leupold versus Simon Trucking, which was in 2009. And just to clarify, when they looked at the language of the statute, the question was, well, does the term damage include all damages, or is it limited? And the Supreme Court basically stated that based on the plain reading of the text of the statute, it was clear the legislative intent was that it did include personal injury or bodily injury damages as well. But what this does is it would limit to property damage or tangible item damages as opposed to health injuries, disease, or other things related to pollutant spills, discharges, and such. But it does go beyond brownfields. I know there was discussion on brownfields. You are talking about other discharges as well. We do look forward to continued conversations with the bill sponsor. We are concerned about this, and we would like to see it changed. But for that reason, we're in opposition today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ryan Smart, Florida Springs Council, is a proponent of the bill. You're recognized.
Thank you, Ryan Smart, Florida Springs Council. I just want to thank Chair Stevenson and Representative Overdorf for the committee substitute today that removed the old sections 1 and 4 in the bill. That means a world to organizations like mine that try to make sure that the laws that you all pass here are enforced. I think 30 years in the future, removing that in section 4 is going to be some of the most meaningful things that you've done this year. It's going to allow 1379, which we also supported last year, to go into effect. We need those laws. We need to be able to go to court to enforce those laws. And it also has the added benefit of keeping the state in compliance with the 402 and 404 assumptions that you've done from the federal government, which helps keep everything here in Florida for our permitting. So just want to thank you very much. We're up on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Meta Calder, Florida League of Women Voters, is waves in support. Thank you. Rebecca O'Hara, Florida League of Cities, waves in support. Thank you for being here. Sarah Younger, waves in support. Thank you. Kristen Rubin, representing herself, and I love that, waves in support. David Vena, waves in support. Thank you. My goodness. We've got a lot of support here, Representative Overdorf. David Cullen, waves in support from the Sierra Club. Thank you. Kimberly Dinkins, 1,000 Friends of Florida, waves in support. My gosh, we're gonna be the poster on a magazine cover or something, Representative Overdorf. Karen Woodall from Earth Justice, waves in support. Tiffany Garling, Florida Chamber of Commerce, Director of Economic Development, Innovation, and Infrastructure Policy, waves in support. My goodness. Okay. Members, do we have any debate on the bill? Representative Cross, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep. Overdorf. I think there's so many people here in support for what is not in the bill rather than what is in the bill, so I appreciate you being able to work on some sections that were challenging earlier. Our attempt to rehabilitate brownfields, I think, is important. I did not read this section as being as narrow as you did, so I appreciate the clarification on that. Maybe there's something, maybe just some additional comfort language in there that makes sure that the intent behind there. I may just need to spend a little more time in these Florida statutes, but it read a little bit broader than that to me. But I do think if someone is following their permits and attempting to take something that is toxic and unusable and give it new life in an appropriate manner, I don't think we should be penalizing from them that. So I will be up on your bill.
Thank you. Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep, I was a no when I came into the committee because I have lots of brownfields in my district. And I know that they do clean them up, but I also know that sometimes we have a little mishap. They cleaned it up, but not quite like they should have cleaned it up. But hearing you explain it, because my initial feeling is that if that brownfield harmed an individual, made them sick, I felt that they should be able to reap some benefit from, going through the legal process. But I too, like my other rep, better understands that, okay, you're doing everything you can, and that people should follow the rules and do this right. And there's no problem with selling brownfields. Trust me, they've been sold every day in my district. So I know there's no problem with selling them. But I am up on your bill today. So thank you for clarifying the language.
Representative Overdorf, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Well, the day that Sierra Club, 1,000 Friends of Florida, Surf Riders, Earth Justice, the Florida Chamber, AIF, and Representative Cross are all on the same side with me, then I think Representative Cassell needs to definitely be up. So with that, I close. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Missy, will you please call the roll on House PS, proposed committee substitute for House Bill 789?
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Vassabi?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gonzalez? That was yes. Yes. Okay. Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Hinson? Maggard?
A soft yes.
Oberdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Oh, the pressure, yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
17 yes.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
Congratulations. Members, this concludes our committee agenda. Seeing no further business before us, Representative Hart, Ranking Member Hart moves we rise. And with that, without objection, the meeting is adjourned.